Buchenwald.
An audio walk.
Buchenwald. An audio walk. You pass the mass graves, the bell tower, the former armaments factory, and the former train station.
What you could hear were diverse impressions of different memorials in the city of Erfurt. Some of you may already be familiar with them, but not everyone. What you were hearing were sounds of Buchenwald and the Topfen Sons Memorial. We visited these memorials as part of our Bosnia and Germany exchange during this week. It was interesting for us to find out whether our impressions of those places differed, not only because of our nationality, but also in terms of personal motivations. Therefore, it is important that you know who we are.
My name is Tabea, I'm German.
My name is Anna and I'm from Bosnia.
My name is Yahya, I'm a Bosnian.
And I'm Caro from Germany. For this audio piece, we want to focus on the places we visited here in Erfurt. So what was your first impression when visiting Topfen Sons, the concentration camp Buchenwald, or taking part in the tour Erfurt in the time of the NS?
This is my first time in Erfurt and I was so confused and during the tourney there and how big was it? I don't know, I felt terrible, like how can people do that? And after that we visit the concentration camp Buchenwald and it was emotional because we had the first audio guide and he gave us those expressions and emotions with the sounds and the speech, and so we can feel the stuff that happened there. And it was really, really terrified, and I can't imagine that happened.
My first impression of the memorial sites was the feeling of sheer dread and terror, not in a way that I am scared. Like, it's a terrifying feeling of what people, evil people were capable of doing. And for me personally, what scared me the most and what shocked me the most, like the sheer amount of people that were participating, like took part knowingly or not knowingly in the Nazi regime, like at what point they were definitely aware and just continued. Buchenwald was on another level because I couldn't collect my thoughts until in the evening. Like definitely it shocked me to the core of my being.
Next, I want to know, did anything surprise you during your visit?
I was surprised by how much the audio made me feel like I was actually in the situation. The sounds and the environment created such an intense atmosphere. When there were windy noises, I actually felt cold. I was deeply moved by the personal stories that were shared, and because of that, I actually had goosebumps the entire hour while listening.
The thing that surprised me the most, of course, in a negative way, was when we came to Buchenwald and the vastness of the space. Like it is so large, and the torture and humiliation there was on such an industrial level that it just stops your brain in place. Like you cannot think. You just see the valley, and the valley is so vast, and it was for 5 to 6 years filled with human suffering. Also, with what surprised me, and I didn't know that they arrested people for such trivial reasons. One more thing that totally shocked me, like I couldn't fathom how you could do it, is in Buchenwald, the audio guy told us they had to put web cameras on some parts of the concentration camp because some neo-Nazis go there, like paint swastikas or some insultful words on the buildings that are left there, and they all the time they have to clean it. So it's like people use it as a ritual or to glorify murders, and in a place like a concentration camp that is so like gross and awful, I have no words.
For me and Tabea, it wasn't the first time visiting those places, so I have the question for both of us. Did our feelings change when visiting the places for a third time or even more times?
It was my second time visiting Buchenwald, but it was the first time I used the audio guide. Because of that, I received new information and experienced everything in a different way. that heavy, oppressive feeling you got on sight hadn't changed at all the second time. Of course, some things felt familiar from the first visit, but there were always new things to discover. And when you are there with different people, you end up discussing different topics and perspectives. That's why I think it was just as moving the second time as it was the first.
I visited Buchenwald for the third time now and did the audio walk the second time. And still to this day, the feeling stayed the same. The sheer numbness and feeling of responsibility always stayed the same. After the visits, it felt wrong to speak loud or to even speak at all. From your point of view, what can be done to prevent such horrific events going forward?
From my point of view, one important aspect is, of course, visiting such places, engaging with the topics, and most importantly, staying in dialogue with other people. I often realize that others have different opinions in my environment, and instead of excluding them or avoiding confrontations, it's important to engage and to try to convince them with arguments and different perspectives.
I think the civil society should stay active because in the end they have the power in a democracy. So if you see a person in need of help, don't just look away like people back then often times did. You have to stand up for diversity and against racism all the time, not just on special occasions. Also, visit all the memorials you are able to. If you're on vacation, there's a memorial in the city you're going to. Go there and visit it. In schools, you only learn facts, but the memorials, they do not only hold facts, they hold emotions, they hold memories.
We recognize that we didn't have as much information about other countries before the exchange. That's why we asked the other participants of our project, is there a way to make places of remembrance public to the world?
First, I think yes, it's possible because you have the internet. Modern museums and also remembrances, places for remembrances have the sites and you can go through the places digital in the internet. But I think it's more important to find spaces for remembrances worldwide. These spaces I see in the education.
I guess one way is like doing exchanges like we do right now, bringing people from different countries together, especially young people, and bring them to the places and also visit other places. And besides these personal meetings, these personal exchanges, I think also like social media or digital tools are really good to bring these places and the contents and everything else on a global level.
If you create something with a lot of medias, videos, audio, and not only for official medias, but also for example, social media projects, that could be interesting. I think the future is to bring that discussion, for example, in social media or YouTube or somewhere else. That is one possibility.
I believe the way to do it is to take good practices from the countries that already have a serious kind of approach to remembrance and to history and memory culture, and to see what works and what doesn't work and try to somehow introduce it into public education system. But basically having one methodology that can be replicated in all countries and through public educational school system, I believe this can be made global, but still it will take some time. But also I believe we are on the right track of doing so, because you can see this happening in more and more places all over the world.
Of course, there is a way to make these things more public, more worldwide, international, with all equipment which we have today. But the most important thing would be organize some type of tours to come to place like this, because of feeling, to send. It's more stronger, it's more emotional if you are there and see that everything. So beside that, I would say maybe formal education should do more about this, some type of tours, knowledge, exams, talkings, and at the end of the day, we don't need to change the world, we need to change person by person.
The exchange helps us to put ourselves in other shoes. We want to end our part with the following quote of Masha Kaleko.
The night in which fear resides also has the stars and the moon.
Noć u kojoj živi strah također ima zvijezde i mjesec.
Die Nacht, in der das Fürchten wohnt, hat auch die Sterne und den Mond.